We continue our learning the Nishmas Davi ben Menachem Rishem Chaim Yaakov ben Pinchas Leo in Avodah Zarah Perek Dalid Mishnah Dalid Avodah Zarah Shel Nachri Asura Miyad Vishel Yisrael Eina Asura Ad Sheteaved. If a non-Jew makes an idol for worship purposes, so it becomes forbidden right away to get Hanah from right when he makes it, even though he doesn't worship it at all. Based on the pasuk Psilei Elohim Tisufun Ba'esh, what does it mean Psilei Elohim? It means the time that it's made into a Pesel, made into an idol, it's already something that's Asur Bahana. We've mentioned in the past the accessories of an Avodah Zarah, of an idol, so those only become prohibited Behana when you actually serve the idol. But the idol itself, once it's constructed, even though, and it's obviously constructed for worship purposes, even though it hasn't been worshipped, it's going to be Asur Bahana right away. B'shel Yisrael, though, but let's say a Jew makes an idol. Eina Asura, Achateaved. A Jew makes an idol, only comes Asur Bahana when he worships it. How do I know that? Because it says, Arur Ha'ish Asher Yaseh Pesel Umasecha Visam Basaser. So this is speaking to the Jew and saying, the Arur, cursed is the one who makes a Pesel Umasecha Visam Basaser. Now, why do I mention the fact that it's in secret, in private? So doing in private, obviously, the fact that since he's a Jew, he's worshiping the idol in private. He's afraid anyone's going to see him. So the fact that it mentions Visam Basaser, it's Pesel Masecha Visam Basaser, that shows you that graven image or whatever it is that he makes, that idol becomes Asur only when it's Basaser, meaning he's using it in a secret way, that is for worship and not before that. Nachri mevatel avodah zarah shelo v'shel chavero, v'Yisrael eino mevatel avodah zarah shel nachri. Go back to Bittul. Mentioned this several times. Here we say that a non-Jew is able to nullify his own Avodah Zarah. He can nullify another non-Jew's Avodah Zarah, but Israel cannot nullify an Avodah Zarah of a Nachri. Bartura quotes the pasuk we mentioned already, and mentioned this in the past. Psilei Elohim tesufun ba'esh, k'shehein nohagin bahem minhag Elohus. Only when it's psilei Elohim, only when they act towards it and behave with it as a god. Avlam imbatlu, if they nullify it from being god, so then harei l'mitarim, then they're mutar bahana. What does he have to do? So we'll see there, he can damage it in some physical way, as we'll see later in the Mishnah, in the coming Mishnais. Or let's say this, somehow he renounces the fact that it's a god, that's also going to be an effective way for the non-Jew to nullify his idol. After that, it becomes mutar. Shelchav. Vero, he said he can nullify the idol belonging to another Jew, not of a Jew, but of another non-Jew. And the Bar Tanura says that there may be another way to interpret this phrase. He says like this, Vishel Yisrael, what does it mean that Vishel Yisrael, the Mishnah says, the Yisrael can't be mevatel the Avodah Zarah of a Nachri, but a Nachri can mevatel the Avodah Zarah of himself, Vishel Chavero. So it sounds like there's another gersa in the Mishnah, and that is not that a non-Jew is able to mevatel his own Avodah Zarah, shelo v'shel chavero. It's shelo, his own, and shel chavero means not shel chavero, his fellow non-Jew, but rather a v'shel Yisrael, which means we'd remain the Mishnah, Nachri is able to mevatel his own Avodah Zarah, and v'shel chavero means, and this is what Bar Tanur is speaking about when he says, bizman sheyesh lo bashutfos, if there is a partnership between the Jew and the non-Jew, then we will allow the non-Jew to be mevatel the Avodah Zarah of the Jew. Normally, he cannot be mevatel the Avodah Zarah of the Jew, but if they have it b'shutfus in partnership, he can. Says the Bar Tanur, though, ken halacha, that is not like that. Da'akum eino mevatel the Avodah Zarah shel Yisrael, afilu yesh lo b'shutfus. A non-Jew cannot nullify the Avodah Zarah of a Jew, even if he is a partner in that. Certainly not if it completely belongs to the Jew. Only that of his own Avodah Zarah, and the Avodah Zarah perhaps of another Nachri as well. Then the Mishnah says, and the Mishnah said also, Yisrael can't nullify the Avodah Zarah of a Nachri. And that would be true even if he's given permission. Bar Tanur says, Afilu nasa lo ha-Nachri rishus, it's not going to help, and certainly he can't nullify a Jew's idol, because the idol of a Jew can never be nullified at all. Then the Mishnah says, Hamavatel Avodah Zarah Bitel Mashamsheha. But bitel mishamsheha, mishamsheha mutarin vihi asura. Here, we're speaking about the accessories of the Avodah Zarah. So what's pointing out here is that if the non-Jew nullifies the Avodah Zarah, so automatically the accessories of that Avodah Zarah are also nullified and they become mutar bahana. But the reverse is not true. If mita mishamshel, if he nullifies the accessories, so the accessories are mutrabana, but the asura, but the idol itself remains prohibited. So the Gemara, the Mishnah now asks, Paragdala Mishnah, hey, the next Mishnah, Kesem Rivatla, how is it, what's considered nullification of an idol? So here the Mishnah gives first examples of how it can be done physically. Kata Rosh Azna, he cuts off the head, literally, meaning the tip of the ear of the idol, Rosh Khatma, the tip of the nose, Rosh Etzba'a, the tip of its finger, that is considered nullification. The Chiddush is that he doesn't have to cut off the whole limb. It's not a major injury to the idol, but here it's just a tip of something. If it's made out of wood, let's say he shaved it, he chips it a little bit in some way, that is considered a nullification. And then Mishnah says, Pichasa, afa bishalo chizra, bitla. This is another chiddush, which is Pichasa means that he didn't take off any part of it, he just dented it. So that becomes, that also nullifies it. And Bartru says, bifanel, in its face, let's say, miachob kurnus, it's like a hammer. And it hit it in the face, achahisi, truas pana, now it no longer has its face, has the same tsura, the same facial features that it had before. That's also considered a nullification. Interestingly, some Rishonim hold that the non-Jew, he's doing this act of nullification. Does he really need to do an act of nullification? What if he renounces? Oh, this is now no longer an idol anymore. So some Rishonim say that this requirement that you need to do a physical act in order to nullify it, that's only when the non-Jew is being coerced to be mevatel it. It will be effective even though he's being coerced to nullify it because he's removing part of it or denting it. But if, let's say, he's nullifying the idol on his own, so then he doesn't have to do anything physical. If he's not being coerced, he's saying, idol is a piece of wood, it's a nothing, it's a stone, it's absolutely nothing anymore. That would be considered bittul. Then the Mishnah says, what about this? Rakak b'fanei, he spit in front of it, hishtin in front of it, urinated in front of it, geirara, or he dragged it, mizarak b'satzoa, or he threw excrement at it, harezo eina b'tela. This is not considered, although these are demeaning acts in front of the idol, nonetheless, it does not nullify it. Why? Because it could be, says the Bartunura, Dulafum Sha'arasachala. Maybe for the moment he got angry, Vahadapalachla, and then he'll go back in another hour, and when he calms down, he'll bow down to it again. So this is true with respect to these actions. We don't assume that is true when it comes to denting it or it comes to removing a piece of it. That, even if it's done in a burst of anger, we assume that that is considered nullification nonetheless. But in these cases, we assume that this is Harezo Eina Bitela. If you remember in the third parak, we spoke with that Aphrodite, that idol that was in the bathhouse, and Rami Gamliel had said that if you have this statue that's near the bath, does not make the bath asur bahana. Why? Because everyone was urinating in front of it. So you'll say, hold on, our Mishnah says Hishtin Bafana does not have any effect on it. That's not considered nullifying it. So we explain there, we'll just review now, and that is everybody did it. One answer is that everybody did that. People there was a lack of reverence towards Aphrodite at every moment. Everybody, hundreds of people came into the bathhouse. Here we're speaking about an individual non-Jew that Hishtin Bafana, or urinating in front of it, is not considered nullification. Then the Mishnah says, Nechara, O Mishka. Let's say the non-Jew sold the idol, or he gave it as a mashkon, as a collateral, as a pledge. So if he defaults on his loan, so he's going to lose the idol. Should we assume that that's considered a nullification? He obviously doesn't want it anymore. He's willing to sell it. He's willing to give it as a pledge. So the Mishnah here says, Rebbe Omer Bitel. Rebbe believes that that is considered a batala. That's considered nullification. V'chachamim orim, lo bitel, v'chachamim say, it's not considered a nullification. Bartunir makes the following point regarding the sale, at least. Selling this, here you have a non-Jew sells his idol. Is that considered being mevatelet? Rebbe says, yes, Chacham say no. So the Bartunir says, plukta de Rebbe v'Rabbanon kishemachol ha'akum. The Rebbe and Rabbanon are only arguing where you sold it to a non-Jew. What does that mean, you sold it to a non-Jew? You sold it to a non-Jew, so the non-Jew may keep it around, may keep it around, and therefore the Chachamim are going to be strict. It's not considered nullification, because they're just another non-Jew may worship it. But if you sold it to a Jew who is he smelts down the metal, then everyone agrees that it's going to be nullified. Why? Because the Jew has nothing to do with the idol. Obviously, if it's sold to a Jew, it's now going to be smelted down and it's not going to be an idol anymore. You sell it to a non-Jew, so there already is in the machlokes, and Rebbe and Chachamim will say that's not considered a batol, and Rebbe said it is batol. It's considered nullified. And others say, there's another Gerus in the Gemara, that they know this has nothing to do whether it's sold to a Jew or a non-Jew. The Chachamim say that a sale of an idol is not considered a nullification, and that would be true even if he sold it to a Jew. I thought the Jew's going to smelt it down. It's not going to be, of course it'll be batel. No, he may sell it to another non-Jew. And Rebbe, who says, and that's for it's not a batel. Rebbe, who says, betel. Rebbe says, no, he believes the idol becomes nullified even if he sold it to a non-Jew.